Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
And welcome back in Wisconsin. It is the Bill Michaels Show around this great state of Wisconsin on a Friday. Got a little snow this morning down in the Milwaukee area. A little dusting of snow. We've actually been okay. If you don't like the heavy duty winter weather, well then you should move. But if not, we're getting away unscathed here a little bit to a degree. It was a little cold spell a few weeks ago, but outside of that, nothing major. But, you know, again, as I said yesterday, 90 days of the heavy stuff in the wintertime, at least in, let's say, Madison and south. North of that, you guys know you get dumped on quite a bit more. But 90 days, December, Jan, and Feb, and then we can start thinking about, you know, spring training getting underway, and which is, heck, you know, here we are the 8th of January, and spring training is going to start just a little over a month from right now. And yes, everything is on time as of today. Now, here's I won't say an issue that I've had, but just a little bit of a curious sort of feel to it. So we have, you can check the box of college basketball is up and running. And of course, protocols are into play here. NHL about to get up and going. NBA with a short shelf life in between seasons is back up and running. The NFL, and there is the huge indicator there that, you know, of how many, this might be a better question for our green and gold insider, Mike Clemens, but, you know, how many people, staff, players, and everything are involved with an NFL team this year? I would say upwards of 70s to 80 range, 50-plus man roster, and you go from there. NFL, there's the indicator there that it is the perfect example of how we can have sports throughout the pandemic that we're going through. And I know there's a lot of differing opinions on this. And I understand that there is sometimes vehement arguments about this. And I understand the positive rate and the tests and the false positives and the false negatives and the hospitalizations and, of course, the death rate and, of course, the death toll. I understand all of it. I've got you. In the most objective way one can possibly look at this. But I don't understand this part of all this. And that is, why baseball is getting picked on. I'm a little territorial when it comes to baseball for obvious reasons. Those that don't know, for, you know, a decade and a half, 15 years, I've been doing post-game duties talking Brewers baseball in Milwaukee. Man, I love that team. And if there's a love affair that is that is out there between a man and a business or a team, it's certainly, I would be the biggest example of, I just love Brewers. And I have, it's been that way since I've been a kid. And those of you that listen to me for forever, you guys are aware, I just collect everything Brewers, and I'm in love with them. So I am a little territorial when it comes to that. But when I have to read again this year, last year, in retrospect, in hindsight, you can sort of understand it. I was in Arizona when the shutdown occurred for spring training. Our coverage continued in Arizona after the shutdown from an Airbnb instead of the broadcast booth at American Family Fields of Phoenix, right in the middle of it. And in looking back, I completely understand it, because we didn't know. We didn't have information. Now, we not only have information, but we have examples of how successful it can be. And I'm just going to talk reality to you. A positive test does not mean a walk to the death chamber. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? I'm just going with the facts here. I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to stir up a division here. However, on the other side, you will see that, boy, there's 350,000 people that have passed away from this virus. Now, some people would add the word allegedly to there. I didn't. But I know that example does exist and occurs. That being said, why is baseball, and I feel it's getting picked on, like, you can't do this. And I don't want to read the articles, because what happens when I read the articles to you, it's like the third or fourth time that I read them, and I just lose my mind. USA Today is a culprit. LA Times is a culprit. Sometimes ESPN is a culprit. In my book, of picking on baseball, saying, how can you do this? I just cited you the examples of how you can do it. NFL football just did it for 17 weeks with double the roster and staff. Literally, the numbers. You want to go by facts and numbers, which is what everybody says. Well, we've got to follow the numbers, follow the facts. Let's do that. The NFL just did that with twice the amount of people involved. And for the most part, in the grand scheme of things, it was rather successful, wasn't it? That being said, is baseball going to get going on time? In just 5.5 weeks from right now. I want to get the date straight. Sam Schmitz is here with us today. Evan Heffelfinger is there. Evan or Sam, if you can grab the exact date of Brewers' reporting date. I know the Brewers On Deck event in Milwaukee had been canceled for quite some time. And that would have been here just in a couple of weeks. Really late January. It normally occurs, I think, in that tweener week between the conference title games in the NFL and the Super Bowl. But, I mean, we're looking at mid-February to report. Craig Counsell spoke to the media not more than, what, 3 weeks ago? And said that as far as he knows, it's business as usual to report. Now, will there be protocols? Is there a reason why I should be there for coverage? One of my favorite things to do is to one-on-one interviews with Milwaukee Brewers players, staff, and coaches, and broadcasters. One of my favorite things. I look forward to doing that every single year. Okay, so we see, this is why I'm curious. It has a TBA to be announced. When do pitchers and catchers report? Well, there's the reason why I don't know. It's because they don't know. And the reason would be why. You tell me why there's... See, now again, I'm gonna stay in total control. You tell me why there's not a date to report to spring training. Why those facilities aren't up and running with safety protocols in place. You're about ready to put 64 teams into an area in Indianapolis for the NCAA tournament. They just announced the protocols for that. You're looking at 15 or so teams, whatever it is, 17 or whatever it might be, in the metropolitan Phoenix area. And we can't get a game plan on that. Why is baseball different? Sam, I'm going to start with you. Why is baseball different? Why does it seem that that goes to a different beat? It goes to a different set of rules.
I don't know. I think, well, first of all, it starts with Rob Manfred. The fact that he's still waiting to announce things, that we still don't know if there's going to be a DH in the NL. We don't know a lot of things for this upcoming MLB season. I will say this. There are three teams in MLB that have set dates so far. The Orioles, the Rays, and the New York Mets all expected to report to spring training sometime between February 17th to the 23rd.
All of those teams in Florida. Is that right? Just off the top of my head, I believe all three of those teams train in Florida. So that being said, are there any in Phoenix? You know, Padres and Dodgers and Cubs and Brewers and White Sox, Mariners. Not one Arizona team.
Yeah, like I said, those are the only three that have set dates so far.
I'm curious as to why. I mean, let it just soak in for a bit. I don't want anyone to get sick. I get it. I was sick. For what it's worth. So were a lot of people. So are a lot of people. I'm not saying society. I'm not saying restaurant bars. I'm not saying schools. I'm not saying any of that stuff. All I'm just commenting on here, if you will, editorializing, if you will, is if other sports can do it, why is baseball different? Is there a different physical activity involved here? Because I don't see it being as close as NFL football is. I called it last year doing some of these shows on the flagship in Milwaukee as well as this show. It's hand-to-hand combat in the NFL. You're face-to-face in the NFL. On average, baseball is not a face-to-face sport compared to football, right? So, why the delay in baseball? They do have a union contract. It does run through the end of this year. So that's not an issue. Although we all know that the undertones and back channels, that it probably is. I get it. But technically, in theory, legally, there is a players association agreement with the league. But why the hesitation with baseball? If the wait-and-see attitude, yet examples of organizational sports are happening right in front of our faces, including a Bucks game tonight, including a Badgers basketball game last night, including NFL games over the weekend, including last weekend. 16 teams played in one day, 5 days ago on Sunday. All 16 teams played on one day. Yet baseball, who has still 5 weeks to play with, is hesitant in getting their season going. I don't know. I don't have the answer. You tell me what the answer is, because I'm confused. I'm confused anyway. But I'm even more confused with the examples after I just set forth the examples. Then we still don't have anything with baseball. Now again, I may be jaded here because I am a baseball guy. I make my living in baseball the last 15 years. Make my living in radio the last 30,000 years. But in baseball the last 15 years. Why can't I have baseball? Maybe a little bit of a selfish comment, but I don't think so. I think it's a fair curiosity. If you want to jump in here, 855-830-8648. That's 855-830-8648. Why does baseball seem to be different than all the other sports that are going on? When you could make the argument that it's less distanced than the other sports. What do you think about it? All right, it's Tim in for Bill today. It's a Friday edition, Wisconsin, of the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
And welcome back, Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Show, a Friday edition. No reason to get too intense about this conversation, that's for sure. As we debate whether or not baseball should be, and again, maybe this is a moot point conversation because maybe they do get underway, which is my hope, being an optimist, which is my hope that baseball gets underway. But if you're just joining us, I'm curious as to why we can play football and we can play basketball and we can play hockey. And for crying out loud, we can even have high school sports. But yet baseball is a little hesitant in proceeding here. And I understand, at least I try to understand all sides of this and know that people have strong opinions about a lot of things going on in this country these days. There's some really strong opinions. But this is just an open forum to try and figure out why baseball would be different than a lot of these other sports that are up and running. And it's an out. I mean, I could, you know, again, I'm a little skewed on this because I want it to happen so bad. A couple of reasons. One is I love Brewers baseball and baseball in general, but I do, you know, make a living doing that. That would be a reason why I would skew the argument that way. And I understand that's what I do. Another reason for me, at least, would be that it is an outdoor activity for the most part. An outdoor activity. Which, more social distance. I thought the protocols were pretty decent. There was some flare-ups in a 60-game shortened season over the summertime. But, again, not a lot of dates set. I won't say that there aren't plans being made, because I would be shocked if there weren't, at least behind the scenes, to get baseball underway on time, or at least have a reporting date. Pitchers and catchers, those three beautiful, lovely words that are out there. And when they would report, and you know, when full team, you know, physicals would happen, and then position players report, and then the first game. I do know this, that they set out the schedule for Cactus League games. Well, that's a good sign. 855-830-8648. Football has double the roster baseball does. Just general math. You know, 50-plus as opposed to, you know, 25-plus. Add the staff in there. I would assume that the staff is far larger in the NFL per team than in baseball on a day-to-day, game-by-game activity. Let's go to Appleton listening on the score. It is Katie. Katie, you're on the Bill Michaels Show. What's your spin on this, Katie? Help me out here.
Well, I love baseball. I was born and raised in baseball. So I'm really missing it like you. And I was just pondering your question and thought maybe it's because of the amount of games they play and the amount of traveling they have to do compared to the other sports, if that's a reason why they're a little more reluctant to get going.
Okay, excellent. See, now, again, Katie, thanks for the call. Valid and fair on CNN. No, I'm kidding. Valid and fair, Katie, because there is a tremendous amount of travel with 162 games, 81 of those games played outside of your home city. You're embarking on three city road trips where you're landing and playing three games. After game three, you're going back to the airport. You're landing another hotel. Good point, Katie. Another hotel. Get right back up. Staff, food, buses, luggage. Go to their park. Play a game for a couple of days. Repeat. And then you factory reset when you get back home. After three cities, you go into LA, San Diego, and Denver in 11 days. You're again though. Now the other side would be, man, you know, once we leave that city, there's another flight and another team that comes into that city, or they leave too, and another. You could have these reciprocation type situations with hotels, which is, you know, probably. In fact, I know that's what they did this year. Now, the travel wasn't as extensive, and you're right. We weren't talking about, you know, 7 to 11 day road trips, maybe occasionally a day more. We're not talking in football, although they practice just about every day. We're not talking about, I think the rule in baseball is you can't play more than 21 straight days. That's 3 weeks, no weekends off. It's not like radio where everyone just takes the banker's holiday every other week. Sorry about that. I had to throw that in there. But you play upwards of 20 and 21 straight days in baseball. I guess that could be it. But I guess, Katie, something else for you and I to think about within the same reason would be, can there be protocols installed to keep that safe? Or can there be schedule protocols to keep this whole thing safe? Which really is what they did this year, too, with the regional sort of realignment on the schedule. It's just an interesting debate. It really is. Okay, let's talk some Packers football up next. But I had to get that off my chest, and I still didn't get to the money part, but I'll try and do that before the show is done. But we are action-packed here today. In the next hour will be Mike Clemens, but we will talk some Packers football next, I promise, with an expert. You're listening to the Friday edition of the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
All right, welcome back. A Friday edition of the Bill Michaels Show. Well, that was fun. I got you down around the just pondering whether or not we're going to get a Brewers baseball season. But let's live in the moment here, and that is Packers football for sure. PackersNews.com. Eric Baranchek joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eric, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Oh, Tim, I really am excited to be here today. I always like when you're subbing in.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. I want to start out just with Aaron Rodgers a little bit and the transformation, in my opinion, of a couple of factors in his growth here. Because the season he's having, Eric, is just amazing to me. But it's wisdom, experience, and maturity that I am hearing from a 37-year-old that just stepped to the next level, both on and off the field. It appears to me whenever I hear him speak. Your thoughts?
Really interesting that you say that, because one of the things that you have to wait for a quarterback is for the game to slow down. Because when you first come out of college, you have a certain level of experience, but you know the bullets fly a little bit faster in the NFL than it does in the college world, and the degree of adjustments that are made, sight adjustments, formation adjustments that are made on the fly are really, really high, because you've got a lot of high IQ people on both sides of the ball, and not only do you have high IQ people, but you got high athletic people too. So you really have to give that quarterback time to slow down. And then after they slow down, that's when they really are good. So you're looking at year 3-4, right? And then there's another level of the slowdown. And then there's this level of slowdown that we're seeing right now where it's almost like the Matrix. You know, you see him, and I'm just, he has a mastery of the offense now, of what they're doing. And he has a comfort level of from the offensive line and his protection. So he's able to go through his progressions and go and do things. I'm just amazed. You don't see it on TV because it's really hard. You only see when you show a TV shot, all they show is basically the line of scrimmage, right? Because they want everybody to see the quarterback. But if you watch him, he gets guys open with his eyes, which is weird because, you know, most people, it's hard. How do you do that? Well, he'll be looking left. So the whole defense, the safeties and everything starts shifting that way, especially I think he's looking left, especially if Adams is on that side. So then you see safeties start floating that way, and all of a sudden he turns and fires it to the right. One example is that touchdown to Equanimeous St. Brown. People can go back and NFL game rewind and watch that play happen and watch those safeties go right to the left, and he, at the last second, just turns and fires it to the right, and it's, you know, a touchdown by a no-name guy. So it's pretty impressive the way that he can manipulate defenses with not only the words coming out of his mouth, but his eyes and the way that, you know, his pump fakes. He definitely has a mastery of what the offense is doing at this point in time.
There were some tenuous circumstances. I guess maybe speculation might be the better word. When LaFleur was brought in, and whether or not they or that relationship was going to be better than the McCarthy Rodgers, at least late in that tenure, it appears that there are no issues with that relationship, because I think part of that, and I'm just guessing, and you may know more on this, I'm guessing LaFleur opened his mind to consulting with Aaron Rodgers on the system and working with him to figure it out. And the communication obviously had to be there because we're seeing the results now.
Yeah. It's hard to say, you know, they're pretty tight lipped about some of that stuff, but if you read between the lines, it sounds like the relationship is very strong. And what you're seeing on the field is, just getting, you know, like last year was kind of getting into the offense, and now it's just it's almost like a wizard out there with what they're doing. And the other thing that you're seeing too is, you know, he's 37 years old. He can still run around a little bit, but he's not a runner. He's looking to throw the ball. He'll run when he needs to get a first down and keep a drive alive. But what I like is the fact that he is not holding the ball as long. And they got it into his head that, you know what, guess what? It's okay to hand the ball off 25 times a game. Nothing wrong with that. And instead of holding the ball and getting clobbered, how about you hit your checkdowns? You know, do some of those things. Know where your checkdowns are. Know where and if there's a blitz coming, throw it to the zone where they vacated. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening right now that have not been really good. You know, like the last couple of years of McCarthy. You know, I used to just sit there and pull my hair out. I'm like, why is this guy not hitting to the hot zone? Why is he not hitting his checkoffs? Why is he just standing there and getting clobbered? If he's going to make it to a play where he is, and you look at some of the older quarterbacks, Brady and Breeze, those are the things that they're doing, and they've just become more efficient. And the big things will open up, and you just be patient. You don't have to stand there and hold the ball and wait for them, because they'll open up on their own if you're efficient right off the bat.
Eric Baranchek, PackersNews.com, and I guess it comes down to this, and maybe there's some teams and coaching staffs losing some sleep over this question. And Eric, admittedly, it might be a stupid question, but how do you beat him then? I mean, that's really what people are losing sleep over. How would you beat a dude like this?
Well, first thing is you got to load up on the run on first down, and they got to do their best to get them to long yardage situations. But, you know, that's everybody's goal, right? So that's nothing new. But after watching enough football of this year and watching him versus last year and the year before, if you want to beat this guy, you got to beat him up early. You got to roll the dice, and you got to get him down on the ground and dirty up his jersey early in the game. And then he starts getting, you know, like any quarterback, they're going to get a little bit of rabbit feet, right? So it's time to, you know, if you're going to do it, you know, you really got to have some brass cojones, because if you're going to do zero coverage, and if you're going to do and blitz a guy to get him down, it's you know, you're playing roulette a little bit, you know, because what's going to happen is this, he's going to hit the hot zone or he's going to hit the dump off. So it's kind of darned if you do and darned if you don't. You know, you gotta get him down on the ground. But the hard part is if you don't, and that offensive line is playing pretty darn good, if you don't get him down on the ground and you're blitzing guys, he's going to tear you up. So it's, you know, if you're going to beat him, you got to beat him early with early pressure. I mean, early, when I say early pressure, early in the game and get him beat up early. That's the way to beat him. That's the only way they're going to beat him.
I'm with you 110%. It came to my thought process many years ago with Peyton Manning when he was just a general with the Colts. And it's like, how do you beat this guy? And then all of a sudden I thought, well, the only way to beat him is to hit him. And it's really, because he's going to get you anyway. I mean, he's going to beat you anyway. I mean, if you want a game plan against that dude, and you're going to have to do something a little bit different. That may occur down the line here. All pros announced, Eric, today. And any surprises for you? Alexander, I guess, if you look at his game log, looks pretty impressive. Za'Darius Smith, both those two defensive players on the second team, first team. Lindsley, along with Adams, Rodgers, and Bakhtiari.
No, I those are pretty good. You know, I think that is there a, I don't know. I think you can make the case for Tonyan. You know, I mean, his numbers that he's put up this year are pretty darn good, especially in the NFC. When you look at tight ends, maybe Amos, but I mean, no, I would say that's a pretty good, I don't think anybody got really bloodied there on that. I agree.
No. Yeah, no, I would say the other thing would be the impressive nature of how the old line has functioned here this year, because with a few moving parts in there, Lindsley's injury and now obviously Bakhtiari, but boy, they've done one hell of a job. I mean, they've stepped up. Now, I'm not sure it's an indicator. Certainly, I love Jenkins moving forward. I think he's going to be on that old line, hopefully, for the next 10 years. I mean, maybe he'd be a Packer legend, but boy, with the moving parts, maybe they're playing above what they normally are. I'm talking about, you know, guys like Wagner and Turner and these guys. But your thoughts on that offensive line, because I don't think they get their due.
No, and one of the hard things that, listen, offensive linemen, they don't just roll out of the womb and they're an offensive lineman. You know, running backs, D-backs, wide receivers, those guys are, God gives them some gifts that most other people don't have. Offensive linemen, the gift they get from God is some their size. But it's all hard work. And those guys, and coaching. And the offensive, the old adage is offensive linemen are made, they're not born. And those guys they put in their time. It's obvious that the mental part of the game is really driven hard home. And they don't make stupid mistakes. You know, rarely do you see a guy running free in the backfield. I mean, look at like Dean Lowry. How many times is he just going to beat a guy off the line and then come screaming in the background? Well, we've seen him this year in the backfield. Well, it isn't because he doesn't do it very often. He does it because the offensive line screws up. You don't see any of those screw ups on their offensive line. You don't see any mistakes being made. And when you are coached at a high level, and you have guys like Bakhtiari, you got guys like Lindsley and Turner that are expecting, you know, these young guys to play at a high level, and are they a good example and a good role model? That's how it's done. You know, offensive linemen, I don't care what anybody says, they are made and they're built, they're not born, and it's a lot of hard work, not only just in the weight room and all that good stuff and at the dinner table. It's about the mental part of the game, and you see them not making mental mistakes, especially in the passing game. The other thing that I have noticed this year, not a whole lot of other people noticed, their pad level is pretty good. Over in years past, that's been a bugaboo with some of their offensive lines, is they've had really high pad levels. And this year, you see, I've noticed their pad level is better. Not only that, but they got athletes now, you know, Lindsley and Jenkins, and even a little bit with Turner, when he's playing guard, they get to the second level. And they're not dominating run blockers. They're not rogue graders, you know, the 350-pound guys that just blow you away. I mean, those guys, they're not that. They're more get out there, turn their backs, and make creases. And, that offensive line is playing as good or better than anybody. I mean, if they're not the best offensive line, they're in the very top end.
And they are playing like it. There's no doubt. And again, maybe they're just going on a little adrenaline and some good vibe and just great systems. But it's been impressive. And I think, Eric, you've been in a fortunate situation just from a fan's perspective, and certainly I have over the years, of being closer to these guys than you know one normally would get, maybe an autograph session here or there. If you've never stood next to an offensive lineman, you need to make sure you get a chance to do that. These men are just mountains. You can't tell that on TV, Eric. I don't know if you recall the first time you were around like a couple of offensive linemen, but the first time I was, it was like, I cannot believe human beings are this large. It's just crazy.
Oh, that try shake their hand. It's kind of like it's almost like, I'm not so sure I want you to shake my hand. You see this giant mitt coming at you. It's like a
catcher's mitt. It is.
Yeah. They can just engulf your hand and crush every bone at any given second. You know, I guess, tell you a quick story. I was a kid and Packers used to have a youth camp. And I remember standing there looking at Robert Brown. And, you know, that guy was you probably don't remember him from the 80s. He was just a monster defensive end and not a fat guy, but just a big man. I remember looking at him going, I'm like, how do I get big like you? And he's like, eat beef.
Lots of meat.
Like, lots of cow. Meat. He's like, lift weights and eat beef. Okay, sir.
Well, let's hook up and maybe have another conversation again next week as we get more into the actual matchup. But Eric Baranchuk, always a pleasure, man. It's a highlight here on the show today. I appreciate the time, and let's do it again.
All right, you guys enjoy your weekend and try to get off the couch a little bit. It's going to be pretty hard with 18 hours of football staring down at us. But
no doubt. Cannot wait. Thank you. There's Eric Baranchuk, PackersNews.com on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. For 80-plus years, they've been getting it done. Call them at 800-44-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
There is an employee here that we work with that is, and I mean this, he's one of the best in the country. And he will join us in the next hour talking Packers football. In the meantime, there's a couple of things I need to get to, and that is paying respects. We'll do that next. Tim in for today, Friday edition of The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
There'll be some fans in the stands for the Packers divisional playoff game next weekend. The team says 6,000 seats for season ticket holders will go on sale next Tuesday. The players have had some light workouts and meetings. Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett interviewed for the Falcons head coaching job. Hackett was asked, with the Packers' recent success, is he surprised more front office people are being considered by other teams?
There's so many things that go into that. I think that if those things happen for people, we'll be so excited for anybody and everybody. But I mean, right now, that's for after the season. You know, we're just in the mindset. We just want to get ready for the playoffs.
And it's been 10 years since Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl. How much would a second Lombardi trophy mean to his legacy?
Obviously, I'd love to win one. It's been a long time. Only a few of us who's actually were there for that moment. So it'd be nice for all of us to get back. The Super Bowl is obviously a big part of the way that quarterbacks are judged and teams in general are judged, but it has always and it will always take a team to do it, and hopefully this is the team to do it this year.
That's Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens.
Yeah, welcome back. Bill Michaels Show, Friday edition, Tim Allen. And we want to get to a couple of these things. We've got a couple in here. Sam, I want to involve you and Evan Heffelfinger, Sam Schmitz, and Evan Heffelfinger producing the show today with those we have lost. And I know we're shortly going to hit a break here, but I will continue this afterwards. It's interesting. that this many, and maybe it is a situation where it's just spotlighted a little bit more, but it does seem like we've lost more in this last calendar year in terms of people who have passed in and around the sports world than really in the years prior to that. And I'll start with a couple here before the break. You know, 1 year ago, right around now, and we can all remember this, is Kobe Bryant, his passing in the helicopter crash in California. Just stunning. I mean, that to me was sort of the precursor of one hell of a year we were going to have. I mean, nobody saw this type of thing coming at that time in terms of the pandemic and deaths. But, I mean, where were you? I was just coming out of the Brewers on Deck event when I heard the news on Kobe Bryant. It's just, you just turn the clock back a little bit. So Kobe Bryant started that off in January. How about Tom Terrific? And no, it's not Tom Brady with that nickname. It's Tom Seaver. Tom Seaver is the one that has that nickname for all eternity. We lost him. You know, Mets and White Sox. I remember him as a Met and a White Sox. Whitey Ford we lost in 2020. Now, I can't say that I watched Whitey Ford, although some would accuse me of watching him play baseball. Bob Gibson, the right-hander. St. Louis Cardinal, just an amazing euchre caught him as well. We'll continue with this list down memory lane a little bit, pay our respects to those who we have lost in the last calendar year. You're listening to a Friday edition, and still to come, Mike Clemens, more Packers conversation. Stick around. It's the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.